Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder. It's a Monday after what some are calling the greatest sports weekend of the year. I still have to think about it, but without further ado, Dave, the big news and our big news, the beating your Steelers took last night, 48-37 at the hands of the Cleveland Browns. I'm sorry, it was over before it began. I don't know where to start with you. What are you? I'm glad to see you're alive. I'd like your initial thoughts on this, when you gave up on them, if you've given up on them at all. What's going through your mind right now?
Hello, Sal. Oh, Charlotte.
Is this real? What's up?
Listen, we're on to the Penguins. You know, hockey season starts very soon. I don't know what.
Did you? Can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
Jesus, I feel like I'm talking to someone at a wake. Did you have hope at all last night?
I got my hopes up there. It just wasn't good enough. We all got to be better. Got to look ourselves in the mirror. And
oh, he's doing a press conference.
I don't know what I'm doing. Listen, I'm sick in the balls, deep in the balls.
What? Well, first of all, let's take you through it. Everything was pointing towards a Steelers victory, even more so than not having a coach, the Browns. Their guard is out. How about the fact that the week before they could only beat Mason Rudolph by 2 points? They needed the game to get in the playoffs, which, by the way, is now an extra layer of, oh my God, what did we do? Had we beaten the Browns, they would not have even been, we wouldn't know how to play them last night. But I mean, I was tallying crap up from earlier in the day and I missed the bad snap and went over the head. And I turned around and I saw like Steelers not wanting to recover that fumble. I was like, what are they? They're spotting them a touchdown here. That's what's going on here. And then from there, it just, when were you done? Was it 14-0? At 14-0, the Browns were a 5-point favorite to win the game. When did you give up? And did you have hope again when they punted in the fourth quarter to start? Like,
there were five other games. Let's talk about those. I mean, Ravens was real. All right, listen. I feel that, yes, that when Roethlisberger threw the second interception, the first one was an apocalypse. When he sailed the ball, James Conner was 8 feet in front of him and he sailed the ball 8 feet over James Conner's head for the interception. The first one that made it then 14-0 quickly. The second one, when he sailed the ball again over the receiver's head, who knows what at that point. But I know it's crazy. At 28-0, I still was holding out some vague hope that the offense would rally. But I knew deep down that given the way the defense wasn't tackling and those long, bizarre-looking plays by the Browns offense were ultimately going to happen again. And so really what were we – I don't know. Listen, I've been up all night walking out. I mean, I walked out,
Did you do a Nicole Kidman walk from The Undoing?
Yes, a personal accounting. I don't know. Then the sun came up, and that was a good sign, I guess, and some level. And now I'm here with you.
Did you really not sleep?
What I did do was wake up at 3:30 in the morning and roll around for 90 minutes just replaying it over and over and over again. The world's never going to be the same, you know? I mean, I'm glad that's for true. Another day, but I'm not going to jive you. It's never going to be what it was before the Cleveland Browns came into Pittsburgh in a game of significance and vanquished the Steelers. I mean, I don't know. I thought that everything bad was supposed to be left in 2020. I'm starting to get an idea that that may not be true.
Well, what's weird is, man, Ben was throwing the ball well during that comeback, right?
Like, in the second half, that's the thing.
If this didn't get so out of hand so early, and teams have games like these every few years, you just hope that it's not in the playoffs, right? A game that doesn't make sense, a game you're supposed to win, and it just, I don't know. And all right, well, we got to blame, right? Because this is the United States. This is what we do in today's society. Where do you put the blame? I'll go to each of you. I felt Tomlin, aside from not having the team as prepared as they should have been, was pretty much blame-free until that decision to not go for it on fourth down right before the fourth quarter. I thought the Browns defense was gassed. It's 35-23. You score there, it's 35-30. I think the Browns are done. I really do. And then they punted, which was maybe not even the top, the worst decision to punt of the day. See Mike Vrabel. We'll talk about that in a second. Charlotte, did you think they had a chance to come back there? Or?
Yeah, I did. Before they punted, I was like, oh my God, the Browns are going to Browns themselves somehow. Like I worried that. I have this friend who, he was the guy who worked at a coffee shop near me at my old apartment that I used to go to like every day. And I became friends with these people. He got a Tim Couch tattoo in 2018. He's bet on the Browns to win the Super Bowl every year for the past 5 years. He texted, I haven't talked to this guy in like a year and a half. He texted me and I tweeted out his tattoo. And then I was like, oh my God, I jinxed it. Like I could be the reason that the Browns end up losing. And then Mike Tomlin, I think, ended up being the reason. But I mean, also Ben couldn't connect those. The receivers couldn't hold on to the ball. Like his throws weren't terrible. Like there were chances where you're just sitting there watching him throw into the end zone four times in a row. And it's like
he and Ebron all year. It's right. Been the same
and he
thing.
Eventually connected on that, you know, that last drive where it seemed disastrous, but I don't know. I feel like it really was a kind of joint come apart because the defense didn't help either.
I think the reason you hadn't spoken to your friend in a year and a half is because he was in an insane asylum and they took his phone away from him. I mean, a Tim Couch tattoo.
It's actually a good
2018.
Tattoo. It's a good tattoo.
I actually saw it. It's fun. Dave, were you screaming? Like, because as a fan, I was a non-fan. I was screaming like, go for it. This defense, you see the cloud of smoke and the cold. I thought the Browns defense, I don't know that you had a fourth and two play. Like I felt like everything was working downfield, but oh, for God's sakes, why give them the ball back there?
Yeah. Well, the timing of the game got so skewed. It was just really. It's one of those things. It's like old baseball fans talk about, like every time you watch, you go to the old park, you could see something new. And it really was that playoff games in pro football continually yield things that you've just never seen before. It was 28-0 with 2 minutes left in the first quarter. It was the Browns.
Crazy.
They were up 28-0. Roethlisberger threw just two apocalyptic picks in that span. The ball got snapped over Big Ben Roethlisberger's his name. Big Ben couldn't, the ball would have gone over that actual Big Ben. It was so far over his head by Marquise Pouncey, let alone another bad snap by Pouncey. There are many people to blame. The defense deserves some of the blame. I mean, they were not getting stops, obviously, amidst all this. I mean, it's not absurd to think that the Steelers still could have survived that one with a couple of stops from the defense, which then leads me to Tomlin, because that's largely his responsibility. But of course, Big Ben, you know, those two picks really put them behind the eight ball again, just as they did 3 years ago against the Jaguars when the Jaguars came in and jumped them. You'll remember Miles Jack picked six Big Ben, and then they had to pull off this furious rally to make it look better. And then you lean back on the defense to make a stop, and it didn't happen. So I guess I say Roethlisberger number one, but Tomlin's got to wear this a little bit. I mean, the like I say, I know it's a 3 year span between the last two playoff games, but both of these were at home. Both of these were against presumably inferior foes. Certainly the Browns were that coming into town without their goddamn head coach, without their best offensive lineman, without Denzel Ward.
A Hall of Fame coach got beat by no coach. That's what makes the least sense of all this to me.
So Big Ben, he's got 1 year left on his contract, right? If he's not there, they take a $22 million cap hit. Do you want him back at this point?
I don't know. You know, it's fair. I will say this very quickly, though, because just to answer Sal's question, go for it. My head is jumbled. I mean, since I walked pre-dawn into the sea and
wow,
and I left my feet. I just floated. I just floated there for a second, and I asked myself some really tough questions. And at the end of that conversation, I decided to swim back for the shore. It was touch and go there, but I decided to be born anew at the hands of the Pacific. And here I sit now, still everything less than clear, where we go from here.
All right.
Should they have gone for it from there on 4th and 1? In hindsight, sure they should have. I do think that Tomlin was probably hoping that there would be a better punt there, which is just a crazy coin flip by all head coaches when they do
right
that.
Through the end zone. Of course, the punt goes right through the end zone. There's no question.
That's it really happen. Is. Like, I wonder if head coaches think about that. Do they? Is it always because they're generally the more pessimistic, conservative kind of thinkers? Mm. That's kind of their logic. But do they ever account for the fact how often that the punt that they're counting on, like, yeah, pin them deep, like, yeah, but your punter must pin them deep, and that's a game. That's a coin flip that's going to happen.
Yeah,
and so now they get the ball.
Net 31 or net.
You might as well take the coin flip of going for it. I mean,
that's what I think. I think it was even better than a coin flip. Yeah.
I agree, but then I also I was trying to you get swept up and like they're rolling and they 3 and out at the Browns, 2 in a row there, and if they do that, like they got a kid, they should pin them deep here and. But then you're also thinking like it's the start of the fourth quarter. We're just going to throw, the temporal kind of when you do things in a football game kind of logic out the window. Like you're going to go for it from your own 45-yard line with a full quarter to go. That kind of set in for me too. But then of course, as soon as Jarvis Landry catches 120-yard pass, you're like. Well, there goes the value of having punted it.
It's not hindsight for me. I was like screaming about it as I was Vrabel. I don't know. I just thought I believe in momentum. I think that there's a thing. I believe if you win 3 blackjack hands in a row, sure, the book tells you you're 50-50 on the next hand. But you got to play the hot streaks. You got to look across the line of scrimmage, see who's gassed. And I thought the Browns were and the Steelers had their way with them. And fine, all right, so if you're going to stop them defensively, stop them from midfield if you don't make it. Or at least try to draw them off sides. For God's sakes, do something. Collinsworth's like, oh, they could do a lot of things here. And then you see guys in motion. And then the quarter expires. And at that point, it's like, all right, well, now they have energy back, I guess, the defense. So now it's a
weird
decision.
But it's also just in those circumstances, they needed, they were down by 12. They needed to score 2 touchdowns and make sure the Browns didn't score any more touchdowns.
Right.
And by giving the ball back in any way to a team that your defense has not been able to stop. I mean, Vrabel, when he explained why he went for it, I mean, why he punted on 4th and 2, he was like, look, our defense, and he looked pissed. He was like, our defense was rolling. I thought maybe we could, get a stop, play the field position game. And I was like, when you say it like that, okay, fine. But Tomlin's defense wasn't rolling. And I also think that coaches, I mean, if you think about it, like decision fatigue is a thing. Coaches make so many decisions throughout the course of a game that maybe it's truly as simple as like by the time you get to that part, you're just I don't even know. Like, sure, here's a decision. And I know that's their whole job, but I still think maybe
they just
seem
to be screwing up all the important ones. That's what's next.
Right.
All right, Dave, real quick, because there are so many other.
I know. I think Vrabel's was worse.
Answer Charlotte's question. Big Ben, back or no?
They're so jammed up with against the cap at this point. There aren't a lot of good solutions for the Steelers. Here's the problem with Big Ben's return is I assume Randy Feuchner, his hand-picked offensive coordinator, him returning is now untenable. There's just to talk about momentum, too much momentum against that guy. So then that equals a new offensive coordinator and Big Ben at 39 learning a new offense. That seems unlikely. I guess I would have to know. I mean, we're talking about Big Ben versus what? Mason Rudolph? I guess give me Big Ben for one more year. Is there some big trade that people want to conjure on social media?
You yeah, said well, there's a quarterback saturation here. You should have your pick of the litter. You should be able to do better than Mason Rudolph.
Listen, if they get
Josh Rosen,
is Sam Darnold a thing? Is Deshaun Watson? Now people are already tweeting out images of Deshaun Watson wearing the Steelers uniform. Mm.
That I would heard be the a Dolphins fine name mentioned, but yeah, the I Steelers the would be interesting.
I mean, I don't know how the Steelers reasonably would get Deshaun Watson. So I think those pie in the sky things aside, I guess they don't really have a choice but to come back with Big Ben, because that's the other factor. I know it would be nice if it was just like, do you want this guy or just replace him and run it back this way? But the cap makes it so that the Steelers are a mess already. They're $25 million over the cap with this team. That just got destroyed by the Browns. So practically speaking, I mean, I don't know what exactly they're going to be able to do. I agree with you. And I mean, to your original point where we started, Sal.
Yes.
I am, you know, people always say like, oh, you're a homer, Dave, you're such a homer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I rarely pick my team to win. In all things, I always can see the why they're going to lose. I am as pessimistic about all my teams almost all the time. This one, I could not see how the Steelers could have lost this game. Going into it, it was like, there's just no chance. There's no way to conjure the path to the Browns succeeding unless, and I really, the one puncher's chance that I did tell people is, unless they do what they did in Cincinnati about 3 or 4 weeks ago, which is fumble the ball on their side of the field and turn it over and just all of a sudden find themselves way down. That's what they did. But I mean, still, it does. It still doesn't make sense that Mason Rudolph almost beat them. That Mason Rudolph lost by 2 to that same team a week ago in Cleveland when Cleveland had to have that game.
They came out fired up. It makes no sense. They were, I think this is as much, yes, the Steelers lost it, but I think this was just a Browns totally shocking fired up win.
And it's weird because they weren't a 12-point underdog. They were 5.5-point underdog, substantial. But, you know, that's in a way, though, I feel like this is your worst playoff loss in years. There are times you played against the Patriots and that stung more because you just want to beat them more. But, you know, we're probably only a 3-point. Oh, the Jaguars was a bad one, too, right? I guess you were about the same. You might have been like an 8-point favorite.
Is this worse because it's the Browns, though?
I think it's got to be worse because it's the Browns, right?
Oh, yeah. There was at least a case that Jaguars team was, you know, they were a play away from going to the Super Bowl. There's no such delusion about this Browns team going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, this ranks for among all time, not painful Pittsburgh sports losses, but embarrassing Pittsburgh losses. Yes. I mean, as someone steeped in the division between those two things, there's some devastating ones at the hands of the Patriots, Broncos, and otherwise. But this one ranks as just shameful. What in hell? They didn't even have their head coach. The coach wasn't even there. He was in another state and they lost.
Well, I, for one, hope that Big Ben comes back. If for no other reason, we got to sell those Seven shirts. I don't know what's going to become of those. We got to sell those. but I'll say this. No. Now, there's a lot of talk. Yeah, those. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're ironic. Maybe they're like third world nation shirts we see now. Like
we got to donate
kids
those
in
to charity.
Ethiopia
for sure.
Wearing them, and it's like ironic and everything. But a lot of the thing was, you know, we talked a lot about Juju Smith-Schuster, the dancing, the TikTok videos, the fact that he went out there and said, oh, I only see gray faces when I think about the Browns. Did this inspire them? And we had fun with it. And Dave, you said no. And Charlotte, you were on the fence, I think. I am now concluding that it was not. It had nothing to do with Juju. It really did. But I do know what may have inspired the Browns. And I think we have a clip of
No. Mason Rudolph, who got out onto the field, and I think we could make a case just because he didn't get intercepted. He had a better day than the first overall pick in his draft class, Baker Mayfield. Congratulations, Baker. This one's for Miles, everybody. This one's for Miles. They got destroyed. They got destroyed. The Browns, this one's for Miles. This one's for the city. They got completely obliterated. Oh, the game was over 4 minutes in.
This means more. This one's for Miles.
What would Miles do? Miles is a martyr now?
This one's different. This one's for the city. This one, this team's different. They've kicked us around for a little too long. Now we got it. This one's going to feel different. We're going to teach Pittsburgh. This is a new era. It was over 4 minutes into the game.
Dave is losing his. I'm sorry. Wow. I think Dave's Collinsworth needs to work too.
All right. Well,
I can't believe you just did that, Sal.
It was over 4 minutes into the game, he said.
Dave's going to leave the podcast now. Dave's going to just leave Zoom. Look at Dave, him over there.
Did they He's do it the for corner. Miles? What happened? You've sunk back in your chair now. What's going through your mind? You once blew it again, for the Steelers.
Once again, I assume the position of Anne Bancroft in The Graduate after she finds out about Ben Braddock canoodling with her daughter. I've resigned myself to the corner of spare white walls. And just like Anne Bancroft says, goodbye, Benjamin.
That's right. That's it. All right. Take your t-shirts with you, Benjamin. My God. But how crazy is that? 4 minutes in. 4 minutes in, this game is over. And 4 minutes in, it that's how it was. Charlotte, the game was over. Yep.
The game was over.
You're prophetic, Dave. That's what you are.
I'm sick in the balls about all of it.
Now, Rachel Bonetta, big Browns fan. Big extra
Browns fan.
Back. Well, she's like, hey, get me on a text chain with Dave. And I'm like, I don't know. If I was in college, I would not want to this is not the way to do it. And she's like, no, get me on a text. So I put you guys on a text chain. She put some kind of GIF with, some pro Browns GIF. You don't even respond. I thought it was okay because, you know, he's like 12 tweets in now. I'm like, okay, he's breathing. He's got a pulse. But no, didn't once respond to Bonetta.
I did not even consider texting Dave. And I didn't even consider texting you because I was like, there's nothing I can say that everybody doesn't already know.
There you go.
I just, you know, Dave, I am sorry. I want you to, I mean, that it sucks.
We
it
could
sucks.
Shift. Go ahead, Dave. One last.
All part. I'll say is, I mean, there. You know, I've tried to, you know, Roger Goodell 15 years ago tried to establish a fan conduct policy. It's none of his business. We fans must put together our own constitution, our own fan conduct policy, and there will be a lot of nuance to it. And listen, if you're a rando Browns fan and you want to take shots at poor old Dave, Have at it. Go ahead. You know what? I can take it. But it does cross a line. It's very similar to when I was vomiting from a bad oyster in New Orleans.
Right.
And Sal refused to give me some space. And he kept pushing the bathroom door of the hotel like, Val, what are you doing? Velva, what are you doing? And then finally, someone had to step in and say, this goes too far, Sal. This is the sort of behavior that will be unforgivable forever. This will be remembered. If you don't take your foot off the gas now, you can never be friends with Dave again. Mm. And that's how I feel. What kind of person takes shots at a friend in their time of devastation, in their time of grief? It says a lot about a person.
I still think it was the right move. I really do. They did it for Miles. All right, let's shift to more
misery. I liked that Sal was the voice of reason. Like, I don't know, Rachel.
I mean,
that might
when
be
Sal's
too much.
Telling you not to shit talk,
but then
you,
I looked and you were
know.
Tweeting. You're like, "Oh, I'm gonna go with something a little lighter. I'm gonna hit the national news," which is funny. And I'm like, "All right, he's bad. He's okay. He could take this." No, he shuts her out completely. I like it. Now there's a rivalry. You thought there wasn't a rivalry.
Touché.
Did it for Miles.
That's right.
Did it for Bonetta.
That's right.
Oh boy,
one against 392. All right, it's a rivalry now.
Pats, Bills, okay? I get it, man. Like, not the same thing, but it's, you know.
Yeah, you're like Patriots fans now. You're the same. Steelers fans, Patriots
fans. Well, the one other thing I'll say is that we did get robbed on this level. Ravens at Chiefs, Steelers at Bills is a better AFC divisional round than what we're now getting.
We're going to get into it. I think we're going to get into it.
The
Bills,
it's going to be fun.
The Bills
I
next to Steelers and Steelers fans, the Bills, I think, get screwed the most here. I think the Bills would have taken care of your Steelers team. Would have been a good game. You don't want to see the Ravens. We'll talk about that. And now the Bills have the Ravens. But real quick, our extra points for extra pay parlay, God damn it, went down in spectacular fashion. Charlotte got us kicked off the weekend. First game, boom, Bills Bills. Now I'm getting confused. Colts over. Boom. Nice. Little shaky in the beginning. The points started coming in third.
I'm going to be honest.
Quarter.
I was really nervous in the third quarter. I was like, oh my God, I can't shoot this parlay in the foot right off the bat. But
what do we have? We had to go over 49. It was 27-24 final. Dave gets us going Sunday. Another one looked a little shaky. We didn't know what kind of Lamar Jackson we were going to see. They win. The Ravens win 20-13. We were given like 1.5, 2 there. Then I have New Orleans plus 10.5. I knew there was going to be a weird game, and I figured this was the weird game, not the Browns Steelers. It was weird, but it was because they were in it. They were in it the whole game.
The Bears.
They could have done it. I had the Bears plus 10.5.
Yeah.
That freaking Wims drops the ball. As easy a touchdown catch as you're going to get. The Bears and Trubisky would have been up there. The Saints would have been playing from behind. The Saints were dying to give away the cover. And at the end, they actually did a one-handed Jimmy Graham touchdown in the end zone. I'm like, okay, they're going for 2 here. We get the 2 and we're in. This is a miracle win that they drove 99 yards after Drew Brees puts the ball over just short of the goal line. Miracle win. No, they don't do the 2-point conversion. Did you know they don't do the 2-point conversion? They changed that rule in 2018. Even Romo didn't even know. They just walk off the field. And they walked off with our parlay winnings.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they changed it. Because I think Case Keenum did it for Minnesota, and he came back and he just took a knee. He's like, what the hell? This is meaningless. And then the league had to decide which is more embarrassing.
They had to drag the Saints out of the locker room after the miracle Minnesota.
Yeah. One of their many last second losses, the Saints. So we lost.
Yeah, that sucked. As soon as the ball, the whole thing sucked. Super wild card weekend. And how long do we have to keep calling it super wild card weekend? If it's wild card weekend, do we need to keep saying it's super? And now, like, there's not a regular wild card weekend anymore. It's now just wild card weekend. I'm not abiding by this super wild card jive.
Well, also, are we going to be allowed to say that for much longer? We're not really supposed to say Super Bowl, right? Because we don't have the rights to whatever. We have to say the big Sunday or whatever. So
They going
to... Yeah, you can't really say, only a few people are allowed to say Super Bowl or advertise it as such. Like if we make graphics or something, we're supposed to say the big game. We're not supposed to say Super Bowl.
Why? Because if you don't have the rights to it?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. So are they going to do the same thing with Super Wild Card Weekend? I don't know.
Stupid.
Dave, was it the best weekend or Charlotte? I kind of feel like...
No, it sucked. Super suck weekend.
Up until 5 Pacific.
From now on, it's super suck weekend forever.
Charlotte, I was exhausted from just laying on the couch for 11 hours times 2.
I was just, it kept getting to a point where after the first game, I'd be like, I can't believe we have 2 more games. And after the second game, I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe we have another game. And during the third game, I'd be like, I can't believe this game's still going on. But, you know, it was. I feel like this year of all years, I appreciated it because I feel like you can break up wild card weekend by going to bars normally, and you can sort of go to one for one game and a different one or go home or whatever. Mm-hmm. But here it was just like straight up fused to the couch for 12 hours. And I didn't hate it. It was a pretty good excuse to do what I've been doing for the past 10 months.
Yeah. Well, it was good stuff. I don't know. I have to think about it. I know we only get 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday next week, but I'd like
paired
having
with,
Rodgers
paired with
in
the
there.
Game tonight. Paired
like
with
having
the...
Mahomes. Yeah, that's right. Of course. Let's talk about tonight. Hey, you bet on Alabama, Ohio State. You get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on FanDuel Sportsbook. You heard that right. FanDuel Sportsbook giving new users an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on the biggest college football game of the year. It means pick either Alabama or Ohio State to win. Then bet $5 for a chance to win $125. Now, here's why that's insane. Because in real life, if you bet Alabama to win, you have to lay $3.10 to get a dollar. Here, 25-1. Same with Ohio State. You get a dollar to win $2.40. No, 25-1 odds. Big, big game tonight. Lots of fun. Yes, the weekend is not over. Alabama, Ohio State, you can get 25-1 odds. FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for, then lock it in. And unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel will get you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Download FanDuel Sportsbook app and use our promo code Extra Points to take advantage of your exclusive 25-1 odds on college football game tonight. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Do it. Real quick on that game, 8.5, 74.5 is the over under. 16,000 fans at Hard Rock Stadium. That's in Miami, right? The old Joe Robbie Stadium. Dave, I think that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right. That's one of those weirdo stadiums that has a new name every 18 months. But it could be, you talk about best weekend ever, could be for the people of Ohio and the central to northern chunk of Ohio, at least, could be the greatest weekend ever.
Oh, right.
If Ohio State beats Alabama now, the greatest 24-hour stretch, and you could have extended that to 36 hours if only the Ravens would have lost. Because, by the way, well, I don't understand this thing. It's a recurring thing for me. I don't understand why Browns people hate Pittsburgh so much. I understand that the Emperor Chaz Knoll constructed the greatest dynasty in pro football history, and he's from Ohio, and Big Ben Roethlisberger is from Ohio, and yet you drafted Kellen Winslow Jr. So I understand that you're upset with yourselves, but why you hate Pittsburgh as a result when the Ravens are, in fact, your team and, in fact, have your Lombardi trophies, Cleveland?
They could hate both. They could spread out the ball. It might have something to do with their biggest fan is laughing maniacally at Myles Garrett. And things like that pile up. They add up, and then you end up despising a city.
Yeah, it's just sort of how sports work.
Yeah.
Of course they hate Pittsburgh.
Now you know.
I just hope Sal gets, or Baker Mayfield gets, oyster food poisoning, and I can be there for it. Either
they did
one.
It for Miles. I'm going to Alabama here, -8.5. Mac Jones just four interceptions.
Sure.
I know. It's just no wasted opportunities in that offense that puts up 48 a game. And I think we'll get to it. I think like Baltimore shut down Derrick Henry, only 40 yards on the ground. Jeez, I think Trey Sermon's going to suffer the same fate. The Oklahoma transfer has been lighting it up. I think Justin Fields and his busted up ribs are going to ask to do something, and it's not going to be good. You guys have thoughts on this game? Or I'm parlaying it. I'm moneyline parlaying it. Alabama and the Kansas City Chiefs. Better, little worse than $1.40 to $1.
I feel like if Justin Fields hadn't gotten as hurt as he did last week, I would have gone with Ohio State, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
I don't trust it.
I don't either. And Ryan Day keeps saying that Fields is okay. But I mean, the quote that Fields gave after he was hurt, where they just shot him up with something and didn't even give him a diagnosis. It's like, okay, well, I mean, he might be ready to go, but I don't know what they did to him to get him ready to go. And I don't know how well that lasts. So
yeah, right.
I don't know. Devontae's off a Heisman. You got, you know.
You know, Nick Saban did the right thing. He ranked Ohio State within the top 10. Unlike Dabo, right?
Yep. So no bulletin board material.
Exactly. I don't know. Juju could screw up this whole thing. Who knows?
The Buckeyes are the Buckeyes.
Right.
I mean, I get the best chance that Ohio State has, but I don't love the way that the Buckeyes have been positioned here. Is there some plucky club with a puncher's chance? They're Ohio State. They're so loaded. They're four deep at every position, just like the other two actual powerhouses in college football are. Mm. They just rotate in. Oh, that guy's gone. How are they going to replace that QB? Well, they have 17 other guys that were five-star recruits waiting in the wings to take over.
That's right.
I feel like, though, that their best chance against this offensive juggernaut that Alabama has, maybe to counter that, Justin Fields should play this game from his basement and and do it remotely. Maybe
what
that would
goes on? It's so crazy that
can
works.
Not to go back to Steelers.
Charlotte, don't do this.
I just want to say one thing. I would have paid so much money to see Kevin Stefanski in his basement. I cannot imagine how you hold it together. I had no horse in the race and I was freaking out. Imagine being the coach of the horse, you know, like, oh my God. Anyway,
people say that, but it probably would have been a lot of just a middle-aged white guy checking his phone and you would have been
was he pacing? Was he drinking? Was he like, I really do want to know, even if he was just staring at his phone, I want to know.
If I find out this son of a bitch was communicating via text or otherwise with the rest of the coaching staff, I'm going to raise. I don't.
Hey, guys, look out. I know I'm not supposed to be texting this, but one of the worst snaps of all time is about to occur. So make sure you're ready. Make sure
guys,
you're ready.
I saw on TV, Pouncey's going to snap it over Ben's head. Get ready.
I will say in a more global sense that It's that this is why I believe in merit for our postseason tournaments and all sports should be our guiding light, not how many fans we can engage. I understand television networks and the leagues like to have as many fans engaged for these games as possible, but it all gets so weird. Tyler, I mean, what the hell happened? Tom Brady almost lost to Heineke.
All right, let's start with that.
That almost happened. Jared Goff had JGP hand beat Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
All right, well, let's start with that.
These games are too close. You can't put everybody into the tournament because they're all coin flip games.
I know. It's fun, and that's what made this weekend
great. It's not fun.
I will say real quick, I know nothing's real quick. I'm okay with the format with one bye. I know you don't like that, Dave, now. You think two teams should get a bye, and so now there's three. But why is that? Is it just because we're used to it growing up? Why shouldn't just one team get rewarded and get a bye? Why do two? What's the difference between, well, now we know there's a difference between regular season, though. What was the difference between Saints and Seahawks? Why not include three? I don't know. One team getting the bye is fine with me.
You know, like it's a severe advantage to give to one team.
It's when one, you are, but it's the best team.
You know what? I think you should give the bye to the worst team. I think. Yeah. I mean, listen. What I like is when all the teams that win their division, and I know that then people. Oh, but then what about Washington winning that garbage division? All right, that's how the cookie crumbles. Mm. I like that the standard is going into the season, win your division, and you go to the playoffs. I like to extend that then to that should be the teams that make the playoffs. If you want to put a wild card in there to keep, you know, the second tier fan bases all engaged so that they watch for the whole season.
Yeah.
That's fine. Wait.
This thing of seven playoff teams is crazy. What do we
You think there shouldn't be wild card games?
They're fine. The nature of, as Sal said, we're not going to be quick on anything, but here for football by its nature. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Creates coin flip kind of results. The teams are too close. If you played, as I always say, if the Chiefs played the Jags in 10 games, the Jags would win, you know, two of them, probably something like that.
Yeah,
they would win some of those. If the Lakers played, who was the worst team in the NBA last year? I'm trying to think of who would have counted as that. The Knicks. Oh, right. Okay. If the Lakers played the Knicks in 10 best of five series, 10 best of seven series, whatever.
Yeah, but the Knicks aren't making the playoffs. I get what you're saying, but these seven seeds are 11-win teams for the most
part. It would be
part.
Like the Lakers they're good playing teams.
They deserve another. They deserve a January
but
game.
But the eight seeds in the NBA are
that's fine.
Further
I get it.
Away. They're never going to win a series.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that right. Baseball.
It sucks with that.
Baseball is even worse.
Same thing. I know. I get it. Baseball, definitely a coin flip. As soon as you make it, and the odds reflect that. But I didn't mind seeing Tampa in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, you got to keep those guys around. Let's start with Tampa. That line was about 8, and then they announced Alex Smith is not going to play, and the guy with 3/4 of a leg is out, and so now the line goes to like 10.5.
Jesus Christ.
It doesn't really make sense. Like, okay, why? But then everyone fell in love with Taylor Heineke. Did well, kept it close, 31-23 final. Tampa Bay didn't take Washington lightly. I kind of feel like that's what the Steelers did with the Browns. Sure, they didn't beat them up by 2 touchdowns. It was, 21? They were down like 5 late in the game, Washington. But it was fun to watch the kid come up. And now everyone, I'll tell you what, Charlotte, I'm on a text chain with a lot of Patriots fans. And they're like, we love Heineke as a quarterback. We love him. So please let that be our guy next year.
I mean, it's a bit of a tough look when it comes out he's a MAGA guy and Bill Belichick is about to get the Medal of Freedom from Trump. So I'm gonna recuse myself from that
All
conversation.
Right.
I didn't love watching Tom Brady win a playoff game with another team. Gonna be honest, mm-hmm. there that sucked. That really sucked. Like. I know there are Pats fans, and I have a recap coming out about this, and I wrote about this. I know there are Pats fans who are clearly bigger people than I or bigger liars than I because they're like, we're rooting for the Bucks. We want the best for Tom. And I'm like, I theoretically do, but I hate this. Like, I hate watching this. So
you realize there's footage of Cam Newton storming the Capitol, right?
Oh, I mean,
You're just going to ignore that? Yes,
oh
it's out there.
Oh, my God,
I'll find it if it's that. Heineke, 26 for 44, 306. and added 46 on the ground. I don't know, Dave, for a minute I was thinking like you a little bit. I was like, all right, this all-day football thing is great, but we watched Phil Rivers, who couldn't reach the end zone on a Hail Mary from about midfield. We're gonna have to pretend that Wolford is good, or Goff with a busted thumb. And now Tyler Heinicke, I'm like, oh man, maybe it's a little too much here. But he did a nice job. Reminds me of Case Keenum, like build-wise and everything, but I don't know if he keeps it going. Not getting a Matt Flynn-type contract in the offseason, but I would be happy if I was Washington fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, now they're what I guess they're not going to go Cam Newton in the offseason, but they're, you know, speaking of which, who Washington go with at QB for 2021. But obviously they're relevant because of their defensive front, a.k.a. Maroon 4, which Mike Tirico, like Al Michaels the week before, invoked it.
They put it many up there.
Many people are calling them the Maroon 4. Leave the out, please. It's not the, it's not Maroon 4.
Right.
And the thing that's most delicious about it is that Washington fans and people in Washington, D.C. do not like this at all. Well, guess
what? Why not?
Guess what?
I didn't see any. Who doesn't like it?
Oh, they don't like it because they're like, it's burgundy. This is terrible.
Oh,
hey,
God.
I gave you a chance. I threw it out there. I liked the D state. I thought the D state was more clever, but I included Maroon 4. That's what won out. And I don't like that Washington, apparently their PR department must be, this is 2 weeks in a row now that this has come up. So obviously in the building, they're telling them in those production meetings, like, hey, what do you think about this? Well, the nickname here is Maroon 4. So they're perpetuating. Yeah. I don't think NBC's picking up on that and running with it. Washington is spreading that. Anyway,
well, they have you to blame. That you should, if you're going to take credit, you got to get the blame too. So, Dave, if you have trouble with Maroon 4, write to Dave. I don't know where he'll be. He's going to be in the sea, floating by the sea. Maroon 4 got to Brady 3 times. He didn't throw the pick though, Brady. If he had thrown the interception, I think we have a last possession type game, and that would have been fun. And now, as it is, they go on to play New Orleans. Could have been Brady Rogers. We could still get Brady Rogers in 2 weeks. But it's New Orleans now, a favored by 3.5 points in the Superdome. They played the Bears. We talked about that. I don't know. I leaning now on Monday, I see now it went to 3 on FanDuel. I think Tampa, even though they got destroyed, I would not bet against Tom Brady right now. And I think the Tom Brady playoff money is coming in, Charlotte. I think we might see that at 2.5 or 3.
I wouldn't bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs. It's the kind of thing where, as a Pats fan, I was so confident. You know, it was like we could be down by whatever, and I'd be like, oh, he's got it. And usually he had it. And it's like, once you see that enough times watching the Washington game, I picked Washington because I think I was just being spiteful. But like in my heart of hearts, I was like, Brady's not going to lose a playoff game. Yeah. He's not going to lose a playoff game to Taylor Heinicke. Like, it's just this level of confidence that you get with him, and he has the reflexes, and he knows he has so many reps, and he can still do it. He's not falling apart. He's not Big Ben. And I think
you know what else? He's as hot as he's been going into the playoffs.
Did you see the side by side of him next to
George Blanda?
George Blanda, yeah. And everyone was like, these guys aren't
George
same
Blanda
age.
Looks like a Civil War vet. Like, it's crazy with the George Blanda, how old he looked at when he was like 28.
But yeah, no, bottom line is don't bet against.
Yeah, he's firing it all over the place. It's like six receivers or pass catchers regularly. I think he's tough to bet against right now. Dave, what are your Monday thoughts on Saints Bucks?
I kind of I'm hearing what your pal Romo is saying about Tom. And he did say about a month ago that he felt like they're starting to figure things out. And it's something that he perceived watching a game in a blowout against the Bucks. The Bucks were on the wrong side of it.
Right.
And for some reason, Romo summoned in the fourth quarter, you hear me now, believe me later kind of statement. They've just figured some things out that will serve them well going forward. Mm. And then they took off from that point. It's an interesting thing. I also don't love not just the narrative of it, but, you know, the self-imposed pressure of Drew Brees is going to retire as soon as he loses. As soon as the Saints lose, that's it for Drew Brees. That's an extra weight to be carrying around for not just Brees, but for all the guys on the field, but specifically for the guy at the trigger there. I don't love that for Brees either. That feels like, as I say, an added weight. Like, this could be my last series in my professional football career as he runs out in a close game in the fourth quarter. I wouldn't want that hanging around my neck. And I got to say, I think and assume and, you know, coin flip and all that kind of stuff, kind of results that we keep seeing in these pro football playoff games, I got to think that Rodgers and company are going to be able to take care of one-handed Jared Goff or thumbless, no opposable thumb Jared Goff and company and survive that game. And so, come on. Every year, every week, we make these assumptions. Oh, I want Russell v. Brees, and then we don't get it because now we got Mayfield going to play Mahomes. Blah.
That's fun.
It's not fun.
Fun college game when they
it's
hooked
fun
up.
Fun college. What was it?
It's not fun, and I don't want to hear any. That's the end of it. I'm putting my foot down. It's not anything fun about it. Now,
okay.
Tom Brady at Aaron Rodgers for a trip to the Super Bowl.
Be great.
Now, that's fun. That's what I'm rooting for.
First, they have to get past Aaron Rodgers has to get past the Rams, who dispatched the Seahawks 30-20. Mr. Unlimited, again, bad move. I don't think this is getting enough press.
He looks pretty limited.
He went out there, made a video, called himself Mr. Unlimited, and then was exactly limited. And by the way, maybe if you're not going to do the play on 3rd-and-2 ever. Now, he had a bunch of rushing yards scrambling. No design plays for Russell Wilson. I feel like I know exactly how much a quarterback should run. I feel like Lamar runs too much. Russ doesn't run much at all. It's not, where's that 3rd-and-2 play, especially with not a great running game, where he just keeps the ball, he hides it, end around. That's good for 9 yards every third drive at least. Put that in there, and they're in that game instead of losing 30-20 as a 3.5-point favorite. Mr. Unlimited showed limitations. And my other point on this is Jared Goff, okay, he's the second string. McVay waits till game time to announce it's going to be Wolford, who suffers what seemed like a terrible injury, like ambulance and everything else. Why don't they have three quarterbacks
on the roster there? Why wasn't Bortles activated?
Because they
will he
roster
be for this
spots
game?
Are precious, and they'd rather have like a sixth or seventh defensive back in there than a third quarterback. But for this particular
for this game, I feel like
stupid. Like, what do you... Goff shouldn't even been activated. So of course you need a third guy. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. And they're selling us on Ramsey shutting down Devontae Adams for this Packers game. Packers Monday line -7, 45.5 on FanDuel. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I imagine that. And by the way, too, we've seen this Rams team. I know this is anecdotal at this point and so far in the rearview mirror, but I'll still cite it, that when the Rams, when they were really rolling even in 2018 and they paid a visit up to cold Chicago, and I think it was December, it was really cold, they really looked like something out of a movie. Like, oh, these SoCal guys ain't going to be able to handle the chill in the air. And they really did look like they came off the beach and didn't know what to do. I really do think that that's and trust me, I understand. You don't have to drop me a line to let me know that a lot of guys that are on the Packers are from Florida or California or Texas as well. But there is something to adapting to your environment. I think the Packers are better suited to play in a cold weather game. So I think they should be able to do that. But I also do think just to make a comment about how media narratives kind of determine the way we react to these things. Because people decided, you know, week 10-ish, like, boy, this Steelers offense is sputtering and they're not very good. Everybody is all over that, but nobody is on the Seahawks thing, which is the exact same story, really.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell happened? I mean, like, this offense, Russell Wilson was the MVP.
Legitimate.
This
top
offense
three
is
MVP.
On DK yeah. Metcalf is gonna go down as probably better than Jerry Rice and correct. All that kind of talk. At the midway point, and then it just vanished. But I think the difference is with the media is like we could see that this was happening for Pittsburgh, and everybody self-validates. See, told you so. But nobody's told you so about the Seahawks. Everybody's like, just ignore it, and maybe no one will notice that
I don't know what
I tweeted or went on that show and said Russell Wilson is the MVP because obviously that's not true, and that's egg on my face.
Well, we've been wrong about a lot of things, but yeah, Russell Wilson and that offense disappearing, and that whole division kind of disappearing in that offense. I was like, what? What happened? Kyler Murray. I used to love that. Those are two offenses. The top two out of four, Chiefs being one, and maybe the Bill. I don't know. Those are the four I wanted to see every week, and then it just went to nothing. But this Rams. Charlotte, I would say without fans, going to Seattle and going to Green Bay and winning this year, a lot easier than in years past. Even though these teams were like 7-1 in the regular season at home. But you give them a shot Saturday or
the Rams?
Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like McVay, I kind of count the Rams out. I feel like I count the Rams out every year. And then something like this, the way they beat the Seahawks, yeah, it wasn't a blowout and the Seahawks were terrible. So, okay, that's fine. But the way that defense, the fact that you had Goff with a hurt thumb as the second string quarterback, you had, Aaron Donald went out, didn't he, one point? And who else went out? There's one other injury that was
Jared Goff's thumb.
Okay, well... Like the fact that you can still win that game, that to me says that there is more depth here and that McVay has done something very impressive. And I think that Rodgers is rolling, but if you come in there that confident and then you count the Rams out, I don't think that's smart.
It's a fun game. I definitely wanted to see Tampa and Rodgers. I'm hoping, like Dave, that we see it in 2 weeks. But
we could get Tom and Goff again. Don't you want that? That was such a fun Super Bowl.
That's terrific. I don't know. I mean, McVay really got, I'm not going to say he got lucky, but he got to the fourth quarter where they didn't have to complete a pass to win the game.
I'll say one thing, too, by the way, about the Rams. Yeah, Sean McVay's getting a lot of credit, and I suppose he deserves it with, you know, as we say, with the two options he had in there at QB. But really, it's Staley, and in a league when everybody is offense heavy and everything is offense dominant, as I say about a good running back who can stay on the field for all three downs, is you know, it's like gold. The reason it's precious is because it's rare. So don't you want to go get the defensive coordinator who's shutting other teams down in an era when offense is ubiquitous? I mean, that. Seems to me that that's what everybody's like, Bieniemy or whoever it's going to be. Go get the guy who can and then get the electric QB on the other side. Let the QB do his thing. I know Pete Carroll has done a lot of damage to that sort of logic as a defense, as a defense first head coach, and then let your dynamic QB take care of the offense. But I do think there is something to that being the strategy moving forward. If you're the Jags, I think get a defense coach and then get a special guy at QB. And
I feel like that's kind of what the Jags had going. I mean, when they had Bortles, he threw it like once a game. They just sort of rammed it through and had that defense with Jalen Ramsey. And so maybe that makes sense. But do we think Pete Carroll's going to stick around now?
Man, I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like he's losing it.
The bonehead coaching decisions, and there's so many, and especially when you're watching one game at a time, you could really, really zone in on. Oh, that was a bad. Oh, why'd they do that? Brandon Staley's who you're talking about defensively, Dave, hired in January, last January, but a lot of help. Maybe having two of the three best defensive players in the game, in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. It's that they really wrapped these games up, huh, with the defense. Let's go to the AFC real quick. Bills, Colts. Dave, I love the Bills. The Bills, if I didn't take on our parlay the Bears, I would have taken the Bills, and I would have lost there because they were laying 6.5, 7 points. 27-24 win. Now poor Phil Rivers is stuck in quarantine with his kids again for 6 months. Bills snap a 25-year playoff drought. Won their first game since 95. Good job by them. That was a fun but weird game. The stat to hang on there is first time a team has had 450 yards of offense and no turnovers and lost, and that's the Colts. The one unit I'm least impressed with over the weekend is the Bills' defense. I really thought they'd pressure Rivers, and they didn't. He slung it all over the place. And now they're at 3-point favorite against the Ravens. I know where you're going with that, Dave, but fun game. Best game of the weekend, I think, next week.
Well, upcoming?
Yes.
Or
it's the one I'm looking forward to the most. I know Tampa, New Orleans is great, but That's two for me.
I'm not looking forward to that at all.
You're not? Really?
Tampa, Ravens, New Bills. Orleans?
Oh, no?
It's no. A good one. I think the Saints didn't look as good as they should have, and I hate, and Tom's...
Oh, that's right. We don't want to watch. I get it. Yeah. Well, you could just run the Medal of Honor ceremony on a loop. You don't have to watch that.
Sal, I swear to God.
Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor.
Medal of Disgrace.
The guy was signed. He was fined for cheating. The team was suspended for cheating. They lost a draft pick for cheating. He's getting a Medal of Honor. This is getting great. This is so good.
Also, just real quick, Trump has given out 25 Medals of Honor and 15 have been to sports people.
Yeah. Well,
another one went to John Voight.
I'd give them all to sports people, but not Bill Belichick.
They're not the president.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good list, Sal, who we should work on. Who would get our medals?
Well, let's do that for Wednesday. Okay. Who you would give Medal of Honor? Because I don't think this ceremony is going to be big. Charlotte,
I will say, let me just say this about the takeaway from the Colts loss was I really did think that Jeff Schwartz and I both were all over, not just the Colts with the points, but, you know, the money line looked real good to me. I really did think, and Schwartz was with me too. And, you know, I guess it, you know, who knows where the game goes after the Colts don't punch it in there at the goal line and go for it on fourth down after the pitch play on third down. And for the millionth time, I must say, me and my offensive coordinator for my imaginary pro football team, David Carr, I know agrees too. Play action at the goal line and short yardage will always work, especially if you have a QB that can move. Phil Rivers can't move, but still, it would have been effective there.
John Taylor up the middle twice? Third and goal, fourth and goal from the one. You're getting there. I have no problem with that.
And because I have to tie everything back to the Steelers game, that's the thing that you also have to keep in mind with why Tomlin doesn't go for it in that spot there. They have no ability.
I know.
The Colts do. The Steelers have no ability and have revealed that over the course of the last 2 months to make a yard when they have to have it. The results are in. They can't make a yard. So what are you going to do?
Scrimmage, you're looking across and the dealer's holding a six. Go get him.
I hear you. I know, but what are you going to do? But so, yeah, the Colts, anyway, people all, bemoan, you know, what the analytics say. And then they say, see, analytics are bad. It's like part of it also has to do with the execution and what plays you call in those spots.
Sure.
And right. So going for it the issue is, why are you running a pitch play on third down? What are you doing that if you're the Colts when you have Quentin Nelson and the rest of that offensive line and Jonathan Taylor behind them, or with Jonathan Taylor there? Play action and throw it to the dragon tight end. There's no way that the Bills stopped that. There's just no way that gets stopped.
That was it. So then they went and it was crazy how they went down the field. The tiptoeing down the sideline right there in the Buffalo, Gabriel Davis, twice, two big catches. And then they score and it's 14-10. And yeah, I know you and Schwartz doing a victory lap, but they were also up double digits in the fourth quarter. It was such a weird game.
I know.
Bills are lucky to
Josh Allen, to but that, I mean, like, that's the kind of thing. When I say get a guy who's defense heavy and can really build a defense for you on one side and then get a special guy at QB. When Josh Allen, I mean, there's just nothing you can do. It's the same thing as Lamar Jackson breaking off these runs. There are certain plays in the course of a game, and you only need two or five of them from the guy who's holding the ball. Josh Allen made two of those on one drive, and it was decisive, even though it was in the first half of the game. Those scrambles that he made and just drilling those, there's just nothing you can do. Legitimately, there would Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald and whoever else you want to throw out there. Like, there's just no stopping it if that guy is going to make that kind of play. And Josh Allen made two of those on that decisive drive.
A lot of Mahomes-esque plays in there for Josh Allen. And then Baltimore, Tennessee, we touched on it a little because it was part of our extra points for extra pay parlay. 2013 win. Lamar came out struggling through a terrible, terrible interception. Basically a punt up there. Speaking of punts, bad decision.
He called it a dumbass.
He called it a dumbass interception.
Yeah, after the game.
And then he shuts us all up with that maybe the best playoff run we've seen by a quarterback. It was 48 yards.
That was unreal.
Crazy. And the biggest takeaway is they stuffed Derrick Henry, Dave. We talked about are we putting too much mileage on this guy? Eventually it'll catch up. I don't know if it caught up or that the Ravens just played great defense. Either way, they advance as a result. Pretty good.
You have to have pieces to be able to do, to practically stop these guys, but it's fairly clear how you take what you do is you take away Derrick Henry. Easier said than done, but the Ravens defense, as we keep pointing to over the last couple of months, if healthy, is potentially dominant. So they took away Derrick Henry, and there were the results there. I think that the big thing going forward is that they learned this one. They again got behind, and then Lamar Jackson uncorks that terrible deep ball, and then somehow they found their soul and returned to what they were, which is, this is the offense that we run here. It's a big eight offense, like Jamel Holloway, but we have a better passer than Jamel Holloway for Oklahoma in 1985. And we got to stick with that. That's what we are. And when they return to that, that should be scary to the Chiefs on down. If they abide by that, even if you get them down 10 points, that Lamar Jackson offense is going to make a little bit of hay.
What a game.
It is awesome, but I think Ravens at Chiefs would have been better. But anyhow.
Yeah, because, well, we would have had four quarterbacks, you want to say. But, yeah, no, Baker, the storyline's all over the place for that. So the Chiefs are a 10-point favorite over the Browns. The Bills are a 2.5-point favorite over the Ravens. Packers 7 over the Rams. And the Bucks, right now it's gone down to 3-point favorite, that the Saints are a favorite over the Bucks in the Superdome. One more thing I want to talk about, Nickelodeon. Charlotte, did you dedicate some time to Nickelodeon?
I checked it out.
Of the Bears, Saints? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. I at a certain point, I was like, this is a little too much neon, and I went back to Romo. But I did think, I did think they did a great job, and I think that if you're trying to get kids to watch, I think it was Nora Princiati who tweeted, she was like, why would you start with the Bears? I do think they did a really good job and showed that there are other ways you can broadcast football and have some fun with it. And so I like that. I feel like I'm a little too old for, like, I'm like a few years too old for SpongeBob and never really cared that much. And some people just like really go nuts for SpongeBob. So I felt like I was missing something there. But, you know, they did a great job.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. I wanted to go exactly just like you. I wanted to go back to Romo after 10 minutes. I get it. The first down line is wavy and orange and cute. And we saw the green slime touchdown only once in like 2 hours. So it's like, all right, that fact. But the idea of them teaching younger kids, and like I was talking about it on Simmons, like there was a tough play where the ball was out of bounds. There was a catch made and it was juggled, but it was then repossessed. And they're trying to explain that to kids. And I'm like, oh, good luck with this. You can't even explain this to adults.
I thought what's Nate Burleson was amazing, though. I thought he did a really, really great job of making those things more clear.
Really good.
So that was good.
Dave, did you check into it?
Yeah, Nate Burleson. I mean, that's, the specific who you put in the booth is everything, and Nate Burleson is the ideal fit for that.
Yeah.
A delightful soul, if there ever was one. So, yeah, it was fun. And I can't stand that everybody feels obliged in our narcissistic society. Like, hey, I'm a 57-year-old man, and I don't like this. Like, then don't watch it. They're like, I don't get what's funny about Full House. Hey, 57-year-old man, the show's not geared for you. It's the same thing. Like, why do people have to take to Twitter to let you know that that's not what they're watching?
That's the only thing I hate. Let people have their thing, man. Who cares?
My biggest problem with it is I watched it. I liked it. I get it. I think it's good for kids. I wanted to switch back to the Romo telecast. And then I'm like, oh, my God. I'm looking on Twitter. I feel so obligated now to keep this whole theme going with Nickelodeon, even though I haven't watched the Nickelodeon feed in 45 minutes. I have to come up with a funny Patrick and SpongeBob reference as it relates to Trubisky.
I flipped back and forth a few times because I felt such FOMO about that. And then I was like, I really want to hear Tony.
It sucks.
Shout FOMO, go.
I switched.
Fear of missing out, right?
Yeah.
Did I get it?
Very good. All right. I'm just throwing a...
Right when I switched back to Romo, though, it was Nance was in the booth, and then it cut to Tony in the booth, and he was just finishing eating something. He had taken a bite, and he had to, like, finished chewing before you started talking, and I've never related to him more in my life.
Absolutely. All right. Well, keep that going. I'm fine with the Nickelodeon stuff. Hey, Crown Royal believes that being a royal fan this season means staying safe, generously supporting your community, and drinking responsibly while rooting on your team. That is how to crown your game day. Even at home, you still get to enjoy your favorite game day cocktails. Just remember to take a water break in between to stay hydrated. Don't be that person that ruins game day for your friends and family. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. We're going to take a water break right now with our Crown Royal Water Break Athlete of the Week. I'm going to make it simple. Josh Allen. I think he had to play a perfect game, and I think he did. Well, he had 9 incompletions, 26 for 35, 324 yards. He added 54 yards on the ground, as Dave mentioned earlier. He did it. He did just what that offense needed to do to beat the Indianapolis Colts. And he is responsible for so many sore backs this morning. Bills Mafia jumping through tables, unlimited. Talk about unlimited, Mr. Unlimited. Unlimited videos of men and women jumping through fiery tables in the snow. It's the craziest thing going on. Again, injuries all over the place. He is my Crown Royal Water Break Athlete of the Week and a chiropractor's dream, I have to say. Josh Allen, good job by you. Charlotte, who you got?
My Water Break Athlete of the Week is another young quarterback who was not alive the last time his team won a playoff game. It's Baker Mayfield. Sorry, Dave. He completed 21 of 34 pass attempts, threw for 263 yards, had 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Wild win against the Steelers. And I also just want to shout him out because he said something that I thought was really great after the game in his post-game presser. Michelle Tafoya asked him about how Michael Dunn went out for their offensive line. And Baker goes, yeah, I mean, I literally introduced myself to some guy named Blake in the locker room before the game. And then he came in. And so there was a cool vibe after the game that I very much appreciated. So Baker, congrats. Have a water on me.
All right, Dave.
I don't know. I mean, Baker's not a leader of men. He doesn't even know the guys' names on his teams. He's too distant. He's isolated. He's running that building. No, of course, the real issue is that Kevin Stefanski was feeding information against the rules, and that game should not be allowed to count. In the meantime, I think Kevin Stefanski did something very selfish by allowing that game to be won when he wasn't even there. This really damages the credibility of the need to have head coaches at all. On the other side of that same coin, though, perhaps this introduces the idea that if you can do it from your couch, then we all could be head coaches. And that leads me to this, inspired by Kevin Stefanski. I think there should be a pro football team. I don't know which one exactly. Maybe the Jags, since as of this recording, they don't have their head coach yet. Instead, they just leave it open and we, the public, gets to make all the calls. Mm. American Idol style. We text in third down, draw to James Robinson.
There's a league like that they're making, Dave.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Well, I would say
where we make the calls,
where fans coach the game.
I would say, yes, that is true. But furthermore, I like the idea because as someone who had the Jags and bet on them in the beginning of the year to have the worst record, I would love that idea. I get to call a play. 4th and 23. We're going for it.
Right. We're going to have to solve that. Right. We're going to have to work our way around the gambling implications of us. But I think this will be fun. Yes. Let's match wits with Andy Reid in a big game, America. Let's do it, football America. We'll just, now you want an America's team? That's America's team. The one that we're all American idling, texting in our answers for.
Nope,
the one Cowboys. Good thing about that would be that fans couldn't bitch about calls that coaches make because it'd be
well,
like
we
you
got,
did that.
Yeah.
Football America also gets to dictate who gets drafted too. I mean, like we build this team from scratch. We get to pick the uniforms. This is going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, Kevin Stefanski, you creep.
Yeah, and you could instead of blaming coaches, you could blame your friends. Like, what was Carl doing on 3rd and 12 there? Come on, step it up, Carl.
Do more like
Nancy. Be a little more proactive with the offense. All right.
Gary wanted to kick the field goal there. Gary, it's like Gary doesn't even know who our kicker is. You know, like, yeah.
I like it. All right, that was a Crown Royal Water Break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit @CrownRoyal on Instagram. That's it. I think we did it. I think we covered everything. What'd we do? Hour 15? That's good enough. Charlotte, at the Wilder Things.
At the Wilder Things, yep. Wrote about what it felt like to watch Tom Brady in the playoffs. You can find that on my social media, Twitter and Instagram. Got some recap videos coming out. And we'll have a People Sports podcast this week, per usual. And you're all my favorites.
There you go. And at Damashek on Twitter, I'd give you his number to text him, but he's not going to get back to you about this Brown Steelers. No way. He's done.
I'm petulant. I'm not going to respond to you to you baiting me to try and say something. Listen, never has it been more relevant to know swear words. So go watch Nicolas Cage on Netflix talk about the history of swear words, performing very well. So far, and I suspect this week on the banks of the Three Rivers, it will continue to. Apparently my first bath in the Pacific wasn't enough. I'm going to take leave of you now and head
walk
over
slowly
there.
Into the ocean.
I'm just going to walk into the ocean and see how this one turns. I don't know. I may talk to you on Wednesday. I may not. We'll see.
All right. Well, good sounds luck good, to Dave. Petulant Dave out there. And as Charlotte reminded us, a reminder to all you. You may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Wednesday.
Not you, Browns.